Welcome to Dancin' Moon Songcast. I'm Scott Simpson, casting from Dancin' Moon Studio in Spearfish Canyon on the north end of the Black Hills of South Dakota, right on the banks of the Spearfish Creek. If you'd like to follow along, you can download a free PDF of my lyric book from scottsimpsonmusic.com/lyrics. And of course, you can find links to all my music there as well. So let's get casting and find out what song we're going to talk about this time. Well, welcome to another poetry episode in Dancin' Moon Songcast. We're doing a series of episodes where we're focusing on poetry from my selected poems, 1989 to 2009. Normally, we'd be talking about songwriting and songs, but we've taken a little break in between songs to talk about poetry. This episode, normally we usually have maybe three poems or so, and they kind of circle around a theme. We're going to have a few more poems this time, so that means I'll probably talk a little bit less than usual about these poems. But we're going to have eight poems, and our theme would simply be, I guess you could say, love. But each of these poems is written either about or for my wife, Cheryl. So this would be the eight poems for Cheryl episode. So we'll take a look at these poems, and I'll talk just a little bit about them in between, and that'll be great. So these are not all the poems, I should say, by the way, written about or for my wife. These are just the ones that I've selected and elected to share with you, so you can just imagine what else I've written. So we're going to go in order of in chronological order. So from early on closer to 1989 to later on, closer to 2009. This first one is titled My Dream. My dream. I see you like this. You clutch the tiny warm ball of a new brown field mouse, pressing it into the warmth of your scented neck, where your hair gently bends in to brush your careful fingers. It is cold outside, and your breath moves slowly away. Clouds of warmth in the snow-white sunlight, your words of comfort, your essence atomized, released. And later, if the mists linger in the year-old plow valleys, whispering, it's all right, all is not cold and hunger, you will still be there, warm. It's only a dream I have, a dream in which I am helpless and nestled in your neck. I think one key piece of love is the capacity to be vulnerable. And maybe in some ways, as I think about this poem, the longing to be vulnerable, to have that other person so trustworthy, so safe, that no matter how cold all else is, no matter how hungry all else is, there's this warm spot, this warm place, this warm person, this warm being. And the longing for that. And of course, in any kind of relationship, you trade places quite often. at one point, one person needs to be vulnerable, the other needs to be the protector. And then those things switch. So, this next poem doesn't have a title. The first line is "In her bed," so that will be the title. In her bed, our daughter has had her one more story, her one more drink, and dreams the part of herself that we will never see. In our living room, we have a movie running, the Canadian Rockies of the early 17th century, shift in some conflict involving intimate campfire reds, steel blue glacial arms cradling white and silver gray aspen groves to move your intent eyes. I chose the movie this time. The couch is long enough for us both. As I watch this light playing upon your nightgown, it is more deadly than secondhand smoke. The Canadian Rockies moving in the lines of your face, the folds of your clothing. I am kneading these silver trout you lay across my lap in this stream we make of our bodies. I will lay you in the winter glow of aspens and smooth the clothing from your skin so you can warm by our fire. Night breath bristling the invisible down of your neck, fanning the glow of your eyes. One of the interesting things about having children, if you've ever been in a relationship and with another person and had children, the children take a lot of focus and they draw a lot of attention that would have been devoted to the other person. A lot of it goes to the children. But the nice thing about that is it's a shared focus. A shared focus. And the other nice thing about that is when they go to sleep, then suddenly you're able to rediscover this other person. And I don't know how many times Cheryl and I have sat on the couch together, her legs across my lap, watching some movie. And of course, the movie's good. That's great. But in this poem, watching the, of course, the room is dark. Watching the colors from the movie flicker across the person's face that you love and their body. And that's a wonderful show as well. So, this next one, as I said, these are kind of chronological, not too long away. This one really is about being apart, being away. It's called "Alone for a Week." Alone for a week. I've been shuffling around the house in my thin moccasins, not bothering to turn on lights or to use dishes. It is quiet, except for the purr of our neighbors mowing his homogeneous grass in the last moments of twilight. The house is dark, except for the night lights I haven't unplugged in our daughter's rooms, those lights supposed to chase the shadows away as though it weren't light that created shadow. At intervals, I wander into the family room, stare at the couch, then the blank TV. I am grabbing at the tail end of the hour as it slips around the clock in the corner, and my hands close around still air. I wonder how long it will take for me to use up all the air that spent at least some time in your lungs, moving through your throat and spilling over your lips. I know enough to know that I am not going to get any work done tonight. I can't let go of the clock long enough to get lost in some of this stuff you left so I could complete undisturbed. But I don't think I like being undisturbed or passing by the orange glow from our daughter's rooms, and suddenly, as my neighbor completes his last lap across his grass, the evening has gone deaf, and I know fully that silence is a taking away of something, a loss. Were I single like one of my friends, perhaps I would use my dishes and fold the laundry, seeing how these things all have places in the week. Maybe I would throw open the windows to let today's air in, but in your absence, I find that silence and darkness have new names and don't whisper or rise and fall beside me. The thinness of these moccasins reminds me of the ground and my weight upon it, that I am still here. I think, in a way, this makes me think about the melding of two lives together. And then in this instance, I believe Cheryl had left. I was probably working on some graduate work or something, and she had gone maybe to Iowa to visit her family for a bit to leave me space to work. And I was apparently not getting much of that work done, but very, very much aware of the, I don't know if it's dependence or the absence, certainly, that I felt with her and our daughters gone. Part of myself, part of what makes me me from a day to day, an hour to hour, a minute to minute perspective seemed to be missing. And it took some time, I think, for me to realize or to remember maybe who I was in that solo sense. And it's those times when you realize things about the connection that you have to another person. Or to more than one, in this case, my wife and my daughters. How much that what I think of as me is so intrinsically tied in to these others. So kind of sticking with a similar theme, in a way, not being alone, but the setting of the house, our houses. We've lived in a number of houses together, and the house takes on a character of its own and shapes the relational things that go on inside the house, both because the house is a focus of both of us. You know, we've spent a lot of time deciding about, you know, what things that need to be fixed, furniture, where it needs to go, how to get a little more storage space here or there. Those are the projects you work on together with another person. So this poem, though, is called Midnight and the Tall House. And I wrote after Williams. So this is, I guess I was inspired by William Carlos Williams a bit for this one. This poem comes in three sections. Midnight and the Tall House. One. Hard, dark night, open wide. Our yellow window light addresses trees, shaping canopies to hide the grass beneath, where crickets wing a song. Not long we're held this way, you and I, a sort of gray haven hedged by black sky, black soil, black cricket, and blacker music rising in his silver, clear wings. Two. Wind sweeps out and down, slips over elm tree, sounding, sounding, sound, and rounding out the dark. To know the park is sleeping, slide and swing inert. To know the dove wing covers doveling heads in eaves above. This is love. Feathered night pulled past our eyes. Nest full, sky lanterns winking dull. Soft wind rocking broad bough, stretching closer every pane of glass. Three. Outside, below us, the sun is forgotten. The impatiens are muted, drooping down to ground, and dirt and dung and earthworm showing quiet colors. Earth colors. Night colors, browns, dull rust, their thrust toward sky, forsaken. Inside we trust, diminished sight, open-palmed, eyes held wide, ears alive, touching, twining, spinning colors out of night wool, wind rhythm, skin scent. Impatient love. I think a big portion of relationships are those shared things, those, and a house can be like that, but also all the things outside the house, the view from the window, the image of the park in the dark, and the wings, swings standing still, the tree branch swaying, the flowers now in a winter time, deadness, the sounds of crickets, all those shared things that we experience together with those that we're living with, that we're entwined with. They become significant in themselves, but then they bring significance to the relationship because it's a shared thing. So much of our love for each other has to do with those shared experiences, those shared smells and sights and sounds. Especially when those things are very intimate, when there's this one other person who shares that with me. This next poem is titled With Cheryl, Outside Centennial, Wyoming. With Cheryl, Outside Centennial, Wyoming. Open range, long grass, full moon, haloing clouds, blue shoulder of mountains. Two rails catch the moon, wind through the grass, silver lines disjoined except in the moon's touch. We are small tonight, our words almost too quiet to pass between us. But something in the luminescence of your skin, your eyes, the seed swaying heavy around us on its stem makes sense of what is still dark. We shine where this moon rides us, where we're worn smooth with shared use. So we were out in an open prairie with tall grass, a tall grass prairie, underneath the shadow of a tall mountain on the edge of the prairie, and the railroad track ran through there, and the moon was full and it was dark, but where the moon hit the rail, the two rails that were worn with use, it shined like something splitting this darker prairie. And the two of us there, and my wife's face shining, and recognizing that we're worn smooth together in this parallel track, after years of being worn by the same things because we're sharing the same life. We're worn smooth and we shine. And whatever is dark, whatever is difficult, whatever problems are coming, whatever things we can't quite see, or we're glad we made it through that, or whatever it is, the shared use, that commonality, like what we were talking about before, something that's shared, it wears us down to a shine, and we glow. We glow with that. We glow with that smoothness, all the rough edges taken away. This next poem is called Old Camp Blue, and my wife and I have worked, spent a number of years at different points in our life working for a camp in New Mexico. And Old Camp Blue was a particular hike. It was an old work camp up in the Rockies in New Mexico. It was just really just a grouping of large stones with huge crevices that you could hike in and around, and then lots of aspen and grass, kind of a magical place. And never anyone there. And so we would take campers and counselors up there to on hikes and things like that. But on occasion, and on this particular occasion, Cheryl and I hiked up there, just the two of us on our own, I think. We had at least one daughter at the time. I think our oldest was already born, and probably someone watched her so we could take a hike. Old Camp Blue. Your laugh is music on bark, on leaf, spilling over rocks, around crags of old boulders, between shadows of aspen, of birch, of pine. On a mat of needles, your eyes and mine are windows too small for looking only. The fallen spruce, half wood, half powder, and you and I go to dust, elemental, making love of sun and stone and leaf and laughing as a swelling of clouds goes dark with summer rain. On the afternoons in the Rockies in New Mexico, always rainy, always a big thundercloud comes up and cools everything off. So So this next one is a little bit of a little bit of a trick. So I'll just leave it at that. It's called Behind My Back, subtitled for Cheryl. Behind my back, she says things behind my back. I have caught her on occasion, stepped around a corner as she mentioned my name, her lips as familiar with it as her own. Each time my status is changed, they look at me with her eyes. Today, I'll tell her to her face, thank you. One of the most beautiful things about being in love with someone is hearing them talk to someone else about you. To hear their perspective when they don't even know you're listening, you're hearing, and to know that what they're sharing with these other people, what these other people are getting, is this lovely image of yourself that is more lovely than you know that it really is, than you know. It's a wonderful thing to want to live up to the image that the people who love you have of you. It's overwhelming sometimes, but what a wonderful thing to hear someone that you love express their love for you to perfect strangers. Tell them all about you, the cool things about you, the stuff you did. Last poem. And this one was written, when we were living in a house that we had just built here in the Black Hills. And I was looking out and I was finishing up a PhD in creative writing. So I was thinking a lot about writing and writing a lot of poetry. And I was appreciating the beautiful landscape around us. But there was something that distracted me. There was a distraction. This is called As Night Approaches. As night approaches, I watch the sky drain from bright blue to purple and finally into deep violet streaked with bits of red. She is behind me inside the house, washing up after dinner. Clink, clank, plate on plate, and her humming, soft, sure, happy, are the only sounds as night falls. I think sometimes those moments that are so unextraordinary become the most extraordinary things. The sound of the washing of plates and a low hum from the person you love who's standing there behind you as you watch the sun go down. And that is, in so many ways, that very first dream of being that helpless field mouse nestled in the neck of someone warm and caring. And we do that for each other in so many ways. We got to take note of it too. take note of it and remember. And that's what I think the writing of poetry for me has been. It's a way of taking note and remembering. And remembering not just the details, but remembering the feeling, the smells, the images, the connections. So there we have it. 8 poems for Cheryl. Appreciate you joining me for these episodes, these poetry episodes, which have been just a journey for me. The writing of the poems was certainly a journey. Revisiting them now has been a journey almost more important than the original writing, I think. So you can find all my music, all my lyrics at scottsimpsonmusic.com. Stream all the music on Spotify or Apple Music. I do have a brand new album coming out on the 15th of January, 2021, and that is Keys to My Head. I'm super excited about it. I hope that you will run out and get that, stream it, purchase it, do whatever. I'm excited for you to hear those songs. I'll also make an announcement of a brand new project that I haven't talked about before that involves Cheryl. I mentioned before, we just became grandparents this year. Got a little grandson named Fox. It has inspired us to form a band. Of course, that's what all grandparents should do. We have a brand new band. It's just the two of us. Nana Papa. We will have some children's music coming out. Singles released one each month, beginning in February of 2021, culminating in a full album in July or August. So I hope you'll keep your eyes open for that. That's Nana Papa, N-A-N-A-P-A-P-A, Nana Papa. And I thank you again for joining me today and for spending some time being attentive to poems that moments in my life that have great significance and maybe inspire you to look for those same sorts of moments in your own life. Maybe pick up a pen, put pen to paper, maybe capture some of that for yourself. Come back to years later. Stay tuned and be well.